Well, how was CES this year?
I don't want to say bad because I don't want to be negative. It's nice, first off, it's nice to have everything getting somewhat back to normal, you know? I mean, I know it's been probably for a lot of people listening, they're like, what do you mean? I've been carrying on life. And yeah, but like on a grand scale, like, you know, Samsung just announced they're doing their first live in-person event. You know, hopefully Apple starts to follow because they see other companies are doing it. And CES is a huge thing. And I don't think there was that many people like years past, like 2019. Well, actually, last time I went was 2020 before everything happened. But it was certainly like I didn't go last year, and I've heard from other people that it's so much better than last year, but it's still not like there. And actually, there's like three or four halls. Well, there's usually South Hall, Central Hall, and North Hall. This year, they didn't even open up Central, or I'm sorry, they didn't open up South, which had a lot of stuff in it. And they used West Hall, but like everything just seemed so like, I don't know. There was a lot more room for companies to have, so I feel like there just wasn't a lot of companies there. Certainly in the Apple world, whew, for those who want to watch any of the three videos I highlighted, I tried to find Apple related or Apple adjacent stuff, but it was tough.
There seemed to be, covering it from the outside, just as much noise as normal. So maybe that's just how it seemed on the
Yeah, I
ground.
mean, it's getting better. It's getting there. I think that there was just like a lot of the things that I was looking for content kind of sucked. Like there just wasn't a lot there to the point where I was kind of struggling a little bit. And it often happens like by the end of the week, I'm like, all right, well, this video is just going to be about the random cool stuff I saw. But like even then, it's a lot of like AI, which is, you know, you think about what's going on in the world, but that's like hard to show things. A lot of cars, and it was hard to get inside the car. Like Sony came out with I mean, they do this every year. They have that concept car, but now that it's like in partnership with Honda, it seems a little bit more realistic that this might actually happen one day if like an actual automaker is going to do something with it. But I still couldn't get into it. One of the things that a lot of people ask me about, have you seen the Withings U-Scan, that thing that you pee on? Yeah. I actually really do want to try that out. Not, I
Yeah,
mean,
I think it's great. If it works with Apple Health, that's a pretty
yeah.
interesting little health kit accessory.
I've been getting into any like health related anything as I've been trying to be better about things over the last few months, and like any metric and data that I can get is really cool for some reason. And I don't know, I never really thought to think about like how interesting it would be to know your PA or pH balance of your urine. But like it could probably sense things. I didn't get a full on look, and obviously I didn't get to test it or anything, but like it would be cool to like know if there was something going on. Maybe, you know, it could probably detect a disease before you even knew you had something, some sort of
Yeah.
infection maybe. I don't know. You know, and then
There's a
for
lot of
women,
nutrition insights you get from it
yeah,
as well, which is
obviously.
something that's really hard to otherwise log
Sure.
in Apple Health. You have to use these third-party apps. You always have to remember to do it. So if you could get those little insights without really having to think about anything, that's when the HealthKit ecosystem really works best.
Obviously, like dehydration. There's one feature for women for ovulation tracking. So that would be cool, I guess. Just one additional way to do that. Now that you can do that with like, you can do that with the Apple Watch, right? With the Ultra?
Series 8, I think Series 8 SE, and no, it's just S Series 8 and the Ultra, yeah.
Yeah, the Ultra works one step. Oh no, the 8 does the temperature tracking too, right?
Yeah,
Okay,
it does, yeah.
that's what I was thinking. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, like it's just another way to like, if you're really someone who wants to know and dial in and everything, then that's just another tool to help you. So that was cool, but like, you know, I'm trying to think of what else I saw. Oh, I got to test the Dyson air purifying headphones,
Oh yeah, I saw that.
which is interesting. Okay. I think people are going to think I'm being dramatic, but it was only 10 minutes of listening, maybe, if that, maybe two songs that I got to listen. There are some pretty fantastic headphones. Like, is it worth $949? I mean, no, probably not. Not to the average person. I thought they sounded better than the AirPods Max. I thought they sounded better than a lot of headphones I've tested, specifically, you know, Bluetooth headphones. The noise cancellation was pretty incredible, which is crazy because there's two motors and fans on each, like one on each side for the air purification part. You can't hear any of that. Also, I think they did a really good job. There's like this noise that happens when you go from transparency or pass-through mode to noise cancellation. It kind of makes like a thwoop noise, like you've been like sucked into something. And that really plays with your brain to make you feel like you just got like your ears just got sucked in. And then now it's like complete tight seal just happened, which I don't think is actually going on. But that sound effect really does play into, obviously, noise cancellation is turning on. So it really amplifies that feeling. So that was kind of cool. And they're really well made. The air purification part, I don't want to diss it. But for someone like me, it's probably not useful. For someone who lives in like San Francisco, New York City, London, take a train, subway, anything, where the air quality is not great, you're around a lot of people, you know, that's cool. You can put them on, get the good air coming in, and then when you get to the office, you can easily like detach it and take it off. I just don't know if that's worth $1,000, but I'm excited.
Can you see people actually wearing them?
No. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. The guy that I talked to about it and we did the briefing on, like, he said he wore it on his – he's from your area. And on his six-hour flight in, he wore it the whole time on the plane. I don't remember if he said that he had the – I'm guessing he had the purification. I'm like, didn't – I don't know. Oh, yeah, he said he didn't have it because I asked if anybody asked him, like, what in the world he was wearing. And he said no one really said anything. And I find that really hard to believe because – If I had no idea, I'd be like, sir, what in the world are you wearing? I'm
used to these weird looking things now. Like AirPods look weird. AirPods Max look weird. We're just used to it now.
I know the joke is overplayed, but you look like Bane from Batman. Like you legitimately look like him when you put that on, which is kind of cool. So, I mean, I don't know. But yeah, those headphones sound good. And if they could make a version without the air purifier in there and sell it for like $600, $550, like that would be, then I would start getting into like, hey, you might want to look into this because it's really, really good. So that was, I mean, you know, CES, there's a lot of crazy things, wireless TVs, which I thought was cool. A lot of people didn't understand why. I feel like it's not like there's a wire that you plug in to power the TV, but anything else that you want to connect to the TV, any set-top boxes, gaming systems, sound bars, anything goes into this box that you can put like across the room as long as it's got a nice line of sight to it. I believe it uses – God, I'm going to mess this up. It's either IR or RF, one of the two, maybe both. but it uses that ability to send the signal over, and you can walk in front of it. They said like there was a cat during their testing like sitting right on it, and it didn't have any like issues. And during the demo – 4K 120, perfectly fine. No lag or delay in sound or anything. So that was pretty impressive. But yeah, CES in a nutshell.
Well, it's always fun. It is always interesting to see. I think the only thing with CES, it always feels a bit weird, is they somehow always feel the same.
Yeah.
You always feel like you see the same selection of products that never quite materialize.
Yeah,
it's not like an Apple event where you know the stuff is shipping. It feels like showing off concepts, but they never quite get there. I mean, I'm sure if we looked at like CS from 10 years ago, maybe some of that stuff we would now have, but a lot of it we don't. I think.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot that, you know, or like I'm seeing some of the same things still, like the same prototypes. I think a lot of the stuff that I tried to cover, they're shipping now, or they will be, have plans to be within the next few months. You know, and a lot of that is company reputation, like OWC. This isn't a sponsored take by any means, even though they sponsor a lot of the stuff with us. You know, a lot of the things they announce at CES and they're like ready to go. You can buy them right then and there. And that's kind of cool. Like it's nice to see all of those things, like the Thunderbolt 4 dock that they got coming. That's like the world's first, I think, like on the go Thunderbolt 4 dock that can charge your MacBook and do all that. And then like Ember's Find My mug.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be nice.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of Find My stuff. The Hyper backpack actually just took one of their, they had like a couple of units showcasing and I was talking to them and I'm like, can you guys, we want to review it. Like, he's like, here, just take this one. So I had to shove another backpack into my giant carry-on. It caused it to be overweight, but now I can work on that video faster. It's a cool backpack. Got a lot of stuff to carry all your Apple things. And then it has Find My built in, which is cool. But yeah, I mean, you're right. It's just a lot of like grand products that probably won't see the light of day. And I'll go. Google showcased its better version of Nearby Share, which was very AirDrop-like. I mean, it worked really well. That was kind of exciting. I don't know why, but it just seemed kind of exciting to have an alternative. One step closer. If we can get this whole iMessage thing cleared up, then I like the idea of being able to just seamlessly switch to another platform for a little bit. Especially when I'm reviewing devices, I can make it my primary line and not have to carry two phones. Like,
I think that's going to be some way off, unfortunately.
That's a very niche thing. Yeah, I know there's a lot of apps that help, and it's just not the same, though. I don't know. Anyways, while I was gone, though, I didn't read any Mac, Apple, iPhone headlines, and I feel like there's so many new things that happen. So you're going to have to catch me up. Catch me up on some things. I'm actually, shameless plug, there will be a video, actually by the time this podcast drops, this video will already be out about the touchscreen Mac. So do we want to start there? Because that's some pretty significant news.
Yes, so that's pretty interesting. So Apple's always been really publicly critical of touchscreen Macs. They've never shied away from those questions in interviews and have always said, you know, the iPad is our large touchscreen device. It's optimized for that input, but the Mac isn't. And when they have tried to experiment with touchscreens on the Mac, it's been through things like the touch bar, never been directly through interacting with the display. So it's really interesting now that we're hearing from Mark Gurman, who is a really credible source, that Apple is seriously investing a lot of money and a lot of energy into developing touchscreen Macs. I mean, whether they actually emerge later down the line is another question. And what Mac OS will be like by then, what iPad OS will be like by then, whether there'll be any interplay with these devices, we don't know. And I do wonder, are we getting into the territory where maybe it's a Mac that is a foldable Mac with, you know, a partially foldable display and it's more like an iPad Pro? Or is there something else going on with this rumor? Because I sort of find it hard to believe it will just be normal Mac OS on a normal MacBook, but apparently it will still have a keyboard and trackpad. But I just sort of feel like there's got to be more to it. After all these years, are they really just going to put a touchscreen on it?
That's kind of where I put my own personal like opinion out on the video here. It's like I don't understand why we've been clamoring for what? Mac OS on an iPad, right? Like join the two. Okay, that seems perfect. And then that kind of gives us our touchscreen Mac that we've wanted in the iPad form factor. And now it's like, okay, here's a MacBook Pro, and it's going to have touch input, but it's going to be Mac OS, the least touch-designed OS you could possibly imagine. And you're not going to, like, adopt the two somehow? And, like, my thoughts were, remember, it's the Microsoft Surface Book, right? The, like, magnetic hinge. Yes. Like, I would love, when that came out, that thing was so cool. I would love something like that, where you can have Mac OS, do your thing, and then when you detach it, it kind of goes down into a stripped-down version. iPad OS makes sense. It kind of just drops down into that, and you can do your own thing that you like to do with tablets, and then dock it back in there. And the cool thing about that product was, like, all of the performance and things were built into the, you know, which makes sense. It's built into the base. And so, like, you do kind of lose a little bit of that power. But with Apple Silicon, I don't know if they can do it that way where, like, there's the ability. You know how, you know, iPads obviously have Apple Silicon. It's built into the display and everything. Like, is there a way to do that to where it's built into the back of the MacBook so that when you detach it, you still get all that performance power and you're not losing all of that? Because, like, that was kind of the thing with the Surface Book is once you detach it, you're not getting that GPU capability because that's into the base and you have detached that now, so you don't get that. I don't know. What do you think about that? Am I getting too crazy? Like, that's not going to happen, but.
Well, I mean, it is a few years later down the line. And by then, we probably will have had, well, we could have had another MacBook Pro redesign. And who knows what that will entail. But I'm inclined to believe that this has more to do with the way that the software will develop. Because if this does end up being maybe 2025 at the earliest, we start seeing the first touchscreen Macs. We will by then have seen three more versions of macOS. And that's the earliest. It might be four more versions of macOS, four more versions of iPadOS. And will iPadOS even exist in the way it does now in 4 years? So if the hardware is there, that's one thing. We're hearing a hardware rumor, but the software is where this really gets interesting.
And this could be like the stepping stone into the foldable Macs that we've talked about, or like the foldable larger devices that would be kind of like, you know, iPad full unfold into a laptop kind of thing. Like, you'd have to have touch input then. So I'm guessing that's the next step. I thought those were closer to being a thing. I guess, well, it's 2023 now. I guess that's not that far off.
Yeah, it's feeling like a lot of these technologies across the board are really rushing up on us. I mean, the headset will be with us sooner rather than later. I'm sure we'll get to that a bit later on. But the fact is, there's a second version of the headset already well into the rumor cycle. Even we've heard rumors about a third version of the headset. And now we're hearing about OLED MacBooks. We're hearing about iterations of Apple Silicon that are quite far down the line. So it does feel like we are just on the precipice of a whole range of new devices. And we're left with a lot of stuff that's still behaves in quite a comparatively old-fashioned way. When you think 5 years from now, we'll have headsets, foldables, even things like the Apple Watch will be quite different.
So the next thing that we would be expecting would be just an update to the current MacBook Pros that we have now, but just with the new M2 Pro and M2 Max, now they're delayed again? So
apparently. So this is from DigiTimes, which definitely is not the most reliable source. It's a little bit all over the place. They do get things right quite often, so it's definitely worth paying attention to them, but they do have some misses. And it's supply chain stuff. And they have just heard from the supply chain that there is a delay. We don't know how much by, but it's pretty clear these devices have already faced a delay. This was something we were expecting ultimately in October. And we saw indications of them in the supply chain way earlier than that. So something is holding these up. I don't know if it's Apple can't get the chips, they can't get the components. The actual shipments of all MacBook Pros is expected to dip because people are just not going to be buying them when we're expecting this new model. So we're going to see it, probably still see it in the first half of this year, but just perhaps not quite as soon as we expect. This year is not going to be a particularly exciting year for the MacBook Pro, but then maybe it's easy to underestimate just what a big upgrade it was in 2021. Instead, when we look to next year, that's when it's getting interesting because we're now hearing about OLED MacBooks, which I find a lot more exciting because I really like the mini LED displays on the MacBook Pro. But I think OLED is where this needs to go. And especially we're hearing about an OLED MacBook Air. And that seems like a really nice device to start with, a slightly smaller footprint and giving a different set of customers something that they could appreciate in a different way to the MacBook Pro, which already obviously has that display that can display truer blacks.
It's funny. I was always under the impression that OLED monitors, OLED Macs, computers in general would be really hard to do because of the fear of burn-in and everything. But like, I guess that's, I mean, they're, OLED stuff is popping up. I mean, speaking of CES, like we talked about earlier, like Lenovo had a whole bunch of products, and one of them was a really nice OLED laptop. And I mean, there's a bunch of OLED monitors now. So, I mean, I guess somebody figured it out. I mean, I know you are doing things on your Mac, but there are often times where you're not for a little while. So I'm guessing there's got to be some sort of safety behind that in the software where it's making sure that it's at least moving something every once in a while.
I think that's partially why there's been the delay. They're concerned about durability and longevity with these displays.
Yeah.
But also, they're kind of in an awkward place from a manufacturing perspective because it's a lot easier for them to make really small OLED displays. They have a really high yield. And it's easy for them to make really big ones with a low PPI, like TVs. But things that are a little bit in the middle, like iPads and MacBooks, those don't yield very well. They crumple in the manufacturing process. So they have to make far more of them, and far more of them just get binned. Yeah. So that is also what's contributed to it, is getting that durability and that consistency. But it should be really impressive when we start seeing these on the Mac, because we all know that mini LED is just a stopgap, really.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm 100% on board. I love OLEDs. I have a couple of the TVs. They're great. And like I said, there's a Lenovo, it's like a tablet that looks a lot like an iPad Pro. They built with a Magic Keyboard. They built like this keyboard dock thing that floats, and it looks nearly, even the person that I was talking to was like, this is very heavily inspired, it looks like. But it had a 14.5 inch OLED display, and it looked so good. And even though the iPad's got a great screen, I thought it looked a lot better, honestly. So I'm hoping Apple figures this out, because other people are doing it. So let's jump at it here.
Yeah, well, next year will be the year for both the iPad and the Mac.
What about that 15-inch MacBook? Is that still coming this year?
Yes. So that's the one we're pretty sure. That we're hearing that from quite a few sources at this point. It's been in the rumor cycle for a long time. That'll be around the middle of this year. Entering production, I think it was in the second quarter. So it could be maybe around WWDC we see that. It will just be the same design and pretty much what we've got to expect from the MacBook Air, the M2 MacBook Air released last year, but just offering this larger display for the first time on a MacBook Air. There will never have been one quite this large. The interesting thing will be to see what chips it's got, because it's rumored to have the M2 and M2 Pro, which is an interesting choice there. So it's kind of getting into a little bit more of the Pro market. And also, how heavy is it going to be? Because if it is substantially larger, that's nearly 2 inches bigger. I don't know if the Mac is still going to feel quite as light and nimble as it does now.
Man, I would be so excited for that. You know how I feel about the normal M2 MacBook Air. It's the one thing where, like, just a little bit more screen would be great if it could stay just as, like, portable and functional and nimble as it is now. I'm drooling at it. I want it now, but I know we got to wait. So, not to switch gears too much, but there's been a lot of talk about an event coming up, like, soon.
Like, yes.
And I don't know how credible that is or how likely it is, but what's going to happen then if it's not going to be? I thought it would be for the MacBooks, right? Or the headset, but I'm guessing the headset's not ready yet. Is it?
Well, yes and no. So the headset is still having manufacturing delays, but it's becoming clearer and clearer that this is nearly ready to go. I mean, Apple was originally looking at timeframes over a year ago when they were going to launch this device. It's hard to say, but effectively, we believe that they will ship the device in the second half of this year, and they will enter mass production, I think, around the middle of the year, second quarter-ish, but it might be delayed maybe until the third quarter. So it could be end of the year shipping. But we think that they will announce it sometime in the spring. And the reasoning for that makes perfect sense. So if they show off the device, they show off what it looks like, they give you an insight into its capabilities. And then at WWDC, they can explain to developers how they can actually make apps for this device, and they can release developer kits for it. And obviously, they need the announcement to come before that. And WWDC is the chance. So it's sort of, unless they are going to announce the hardware at WWDC, which is possible, but personally, I think it's unlikely. I think we're going to see an Apple event probably in the spring, when they will unveil things like the Mac Pro, they will unveil the M2 Mac Mini, a couple of these things that have been in the works for a while, maybe even the MacBook Pros, depending on how long those are pushed out for. And then we will get a one more thing with the headset. To me, that seems like the most likely outcome.
So then there's, but like the things that I've been seeing were like in February. So what would be, or even the end of this month. So what would that be for?
That would be, well, there's a whole load of Macs that need to come. So we've got the Mac Pro,
Okay,
the Apple
so
Silicon Mac Pro, which is well
okay.
overdue, Mac Mini, and a high-end Mac Mini as well to replace the Intel model. So this would be getting rid of the final two Intel models that Apple still sells, and then MacBook Pros. So that's at least three Macs that should be ready to launch in the first quarter of this year. So that could go out to March. I don't know. I don't think it'll be this month, but maybe late February, March time, maybe even as far out as April, especially if it's getting a headset unveiling. April would seem like a pretty good time frame, but March, April seems about right for when Apple holds these sorts of events.
It's been a while, I feel like, since there's been anything new. And so I'm just kind of starved for something new. Like, what, we haven't had a new product, have we? Since
Yeah, so
November? What was the last? I can't even remember anymore.
it was the I don't remember what the last product was, but the last event was the iPhone 14 event.
Yeah, and then what
So
else came? The Ultra, and then did anything new come out since then?
no, there's certainly been no Macs,
Right.
which is unusual. So this was the fourth quarter of last year was the first time in 21 years when Apple has not released new Macs at that time of year.
Yeah.
So it is really unusual. And that's why it does feel a little bit strange as well,
Yeah, it
because
feels like it's
we
been a
aren't
long
used to
time.
this.
Yeah.
I mean, the last time Apple did this, there was no iPod. I mean, let alone an iPad or a watch. I mean, this was a long time ago. And since then, Apple has re always released new Macs at the end of the year like clockwork. So that's why we're feeling a little bit starved without some sort of new announcement.
Yeah, I mean, heading into March, that would be, I think the last thing that I got was like of significance, you know, like a along the major product lines. The Apple TV, right? That was it. November, it was like middle or beginning of November, and I honestly don't think a new product of significance like a Mac, Apple TV, AirPods, iPhone, Apple Watch, like none of those came out. So it's what, November, December, January, if we push into February, March, that'll be almost 5 or 6 months since the last product. That seems like a long time, and I don't know why I'm surprised by this, but just feels
It's
like,
strange considering that when we were told about Apple Silicon,
yeah.
we assumed it'd be like the iPhone with more regular updates. And that doesn't seem to be happening at all.
No.
And the way that these chip updates are working, I mean, I assume there's a lot of supply chain issues here. And as, but even with things like the Mac Pro, it's the rumor cycle is presenting an image of a device that is really strange. So I don't know if you heard this about the
I
Mac
was gonna
Pro.
say, let's dive into the Mac Pro since that's what we're, I guess, expecting to be the first thing up, right?
Well, yeah, and it's certainly the most overdue thing at this point.
Yeah.
So the main thing is there is no M2 Extreme chip. There
Right.
is no top tier chip for the Mac Pro, which is pretty surprising considering that this is supposed to be the flagship Mac and it will ultimately be no more powerful than the Mac Studio is right now. Maybe it will
Right.
have better cooling, so maybe it will be able to push that chip further, but it will basically be just as capable as the Mac Studio. And it will have the same design as the Intel-based Mac Pro, which I can't really get my head around because it does not need that many PCIe slots. It can't take advantage of that many. It certainly won't have replaceable memory. That's the one thing we're now quite sure of based on what Mark Gurman is saying. So you'll be
Like,
able to upgrade the storage, and you'll still have PCIe slots, but there'll be no upgradable RAM. So why are you keeping that same design?
same design and like to the T, like it's gonna be that large and it's gonna be that, or is it just like same design? What was that?
That's Siri, as usual.
Oh, stupid Siri. Anyways, before Siri rudely interrupted me, is it gonna be the same, is it going to be the same like size, or is it just going to be same
Yeah.
design down into a smaller form factor?
No, we think it will be the same casing, which it that feels really half-baked to me, and I sort of hope it isn't true. I sort of hope I've misunderstood that and that it is going to be the same with the cheese grater design and the
Yeah,
lift-off
but
casing, but it doesn't need to be that big.
no.
It's definitely not going to get as hot. It doesn't need as much cooling. It's very questionable if you'll be able to use external GPUs, so you don't need those big MPX modules.
See, that would be cool.
And
If you could.
It would be cool if you can, and if they announce that with it, then that will be a different matter. But I'm assuming that you won't be able to. And if you can't upgrade the memory, this is going to just feel like a really empty casing for a device mm-hmm. that has actually been hyped up an awful lot. And that's, you know, Apple is responsible for that because they set the bar with the Mac Studio and said, you know, just wait to see what's to come for the real pros. And is it really that we just get basically a Mac Studio in a bigger casing where you can just add, I don't know, an extra hard drive via PCIe?
Oh, is that how you're, by the way, you said you can upgrade the storage. Is that how you were referring it to via PCIe?
No, it would be the same as in the current Mac Pro where you get the little slots and you can buy the upgrade kit, I assume.
Is that possible? Like in the Mac Studio. Why couldn't, yeah. Wait, can you do that in the Mac Studio?
Well, the Mac Studio, the SSDs are removable physically. So the slots are there. They're not soldered down, but you can't actually replace them and you can't swap them between devices.
Why?
With the Mac Pro, because it's connected to the security of the chip. So
well,
they
so was the Mac Pro, but then they somehow changed that, and then they gave you the ability
to
do that.
Yeah, that's the T2 chip on the Mac Pro. So I assume that they will, through whatever means, make it exclusive to the Mac Pro.
That's annoying. Because I would like to upgrade the Mac Studio. That would be cool. And that's why I just assumed any Apple Silicon storage wasn't like going to be available to upgrade, but that's cool, I guess, if you can do that. But still, that like you said, that's not enough. PCIe is
a little half-baked.
Yeah, PCIe is nice. I have the Mac Pro at home still, and like every so often when I'm on it, it's nice to know that I have just like an ungodly amount of terabytes of storage. Even though it's not internal technically, it's still internal and it boots up and I don't have to add anything, and it's just it's there, part of the system, and I can have 32 plus terabytes of storage, which is insane. And I can change it out and add new drives, and that's nice, but it's not entirely necessary. I think adding in better performance was the whole point of the Mac Pro, and being able to swap that out and you know, upgrading as some of those chips become outdated. I just don't understand how it's going to work here, so we'll see.
I think that Apple will justify it on the basis of it being more modular. So they will say this is the Mac Studio is for professionals that don't need to upgrade and don't need PCIe. So they basically want the experience of like the trash can Mac Pro. Whereas if you actually want to be able to add some extra, even just extra ports via PCIe or whatever that would involve, then that's who the Mac Pro is for. But it just seems like it wasn't viable to provide a chip that expensive with what would have been the M2 Extreme for the number of people that would buy it. And we've always kind of said who would need that much power, and some people would, but is it enough for Apple to justify that much development, that much cost, how much that machine would be? So I kind of understand why they canceled it, but it's just a bit of a shame. You know, we were looking forward to this as the flagship Apple Silicon Mac where they could really show off what they could do. But maybe we shouldn't write it off just yet. We'll have to see.
So that would have an M2 Ultra then?
Yes.
So then they would have to announce the new Mac Pros. They can't just do like a Mac. Sorry, let me rephrase that. They would have to announce a new M2 Pro and M2 Max MacBook Pro then at either the same time or before that. I feel it would be really strange if they came out first with a Mac Pro and been like, here's the M2 Ultra chip, but like none of the other ones exist in this current space and time. I mean, they might exist, but they don't publicly exist, right? Wouldn't that be weird? So I feel like they would have to do all of them.
I think it's quite likely we'll see these Macs arrive at the same time at an event. Okay. And if we don't, the MacBook Pros will come at an earlier point just via a press release, because there's such a tiny update. It's just a chip refresh.
Yeah. I don't need to sit there and listen to the graphs or watch the graphs and listen to that guy talk super, super fast about how much faster it is. Like, I don't need to. So we could just skip that. We can read it. And, you know, the M2 Ultra, on the other hand, that's a little different. That's a new chip. It's a new product that it's going into. So that would be nice. That's it for the Max. And then just in the imminent future, what else was kind of dropped this past week? A lot of iPhone 15 stuff, but that's been since last year too.
Yeah, so we haven't heard anything distinctively new about iPhone 15. We've just been hearing everything corroborated, which is where you really start to believe it. You know, things like the titanium chassis, which have been rumored for years on and off, now you can believe it because we are hearing this from a lot of the major sources in the industry. And if these people are saying it and they're all saying it, then you believe it. And you also believe it about the non-moving fixed buttons, volume buttons and lock button as well. So it looks like.
I'm still intrigued by that. I don't know how that's going to work. We talked about this last time, right?
Yeah. Yes, we did. And I'm concerned for the same reasons about basic things like when you're using gloves, when you use a case. So we'll have to see. It's got to offer something a little bit special.
I mean, I'm excited for that, but that's not until September.
Yeah, it's going to be, other than the headset, this is a quiet year
That's
overall.
disappointing.
It looks to me like 2024 is going to be the next big year for Apple. And I think the reason why we're seeing this is because we know that Apple is around about 2 years behind, or at least I should say ahead in terms of their product development. So right now they are moving into a process of seriously ramping up work on the iPhone 16, and that is being finalized right now, or it probably already is to a large extent finalized before it starts going into production tests early next year. And on that basis, if you think, well, what was happening at this time 2 years ago? It was obviously the pandemic, when Apple moved to working from home, when Apple was dealing with a lot of these changes and a lot of supply chain difficulties. And it's like it's now feeling the effect of it. We were pretty protected from it over the past 2 years because we were looking at Apple products that had been ready for 2 years.
True.
Say something like the AirPods Max, that had been in development for years before that. Whereas now there are no new AirPods Max, and that's because Apple was not working in the same way at the time these things were being developed.
That was going to be my next thing to jump into. Like, I'm so disappointed. And now the latest word is next year. Like,
Yeah, it could even be late next year.
I get it. It's not a product that needs to be updated all the time, but like, it's been what, 2 years already, and I'm quite sick of the charging case. I was sick of it since day one, or not the charging case, but the carrying case. But also, it is kind of used to help preserve battery life because it has to be in that in order to like instantly go in that mode. Like, they need to have a different situation for that. I think they will. I hope they will. New colors aren't a big deal, but it would be nice to see some new ones out there. Giving that, getting the new transparency that the AirPods, making them more in line with the rest of the lineup. I don't know, man. Late next year just kind of sounds like a
It
bummer.
feels like too long, considering that the AirPods Pro 2 have so much more advanced hardware features, with things like precision finding, with things like adaptive transparency, the improved active noise cancellation. There's a whole load of these features. I mean, even I would say that the skin detect sensors, or maybe even sweat and water resistance. If you want to use your AirPods Max for working out or something, should you? I mean, what if you get caught in the rain in your AirPods Max? So,
Better find
but
my.
yeah, all of this stuff, it's sort of strange that this will be on the AirPods Pro for what, over, well, about 2 years before we see it on the AirPods Max, which at that point will be nearly 4 years old. So that is a shame, and that is at earliest.
What about these
But it doesn't seem
$99
incredible.
AirPods? What are those about? Why are we wasting time on that?
Yeah, it's. I suppose Apple doesn't like seeing all those, those copies. Those.
Like
You see
that.
them everywhere. The cheaper in-ear bud versions with a very, a design very much like AirPods.
Like
So they want to hit
the
something at that
nothing
price point.
headphone, or the nothing ear sticks is the one that comes to mind. Honestly, those are really good. And they're only
Yeah,
99
there's and
bucks.
there's a lot of competitors in that price range. And Apple sells the cheapest AirPods you can get from Apple right now are the second generation version for, I think it's 129.
Yeah. I mean, but you could get good. Them, you could see them down to 99 somewhere via sales.
But the hardware, it does feel outdated now. You're basically dealing with a design that is, at this point, 7 years old, nearly. Or we're getting there, 6 or 7 years old. And I know it's got H1 chips, but my old AirPods 2 never paired very well. When I switched to the 3s, it was a much better experience. And I suppose Apple is thinking they need to actually make a product for that price range, a bit like the Apple Watch SE or the iPhone SE, rather than just demoting an old model to a lower price point, make some specific AirPods experience for.
So what would what would differentiate that then between the 3s and these ones? Because I'm guessing they would change the design over, right? Or would they keep the same design?
It's hard to say by the time these come out. I mean, maybe they will have the design of the AirPods 3, but maybe it will be lacking some features like spatial audio. They could have a slightly shorter battery life. I don't really know what they could remove from it, to be honest. And I wouldn't be surprised if they actually by then reduce the price of the AirPods 3 to the $99 price point and just stick some H2 chips in them so that they work nicely with the headset, which is the other rumor that we've heard, that the H2 chips in the AirPods Pro are ready to go for the headset. The headset apparently will have H2 chips in, and that is intentional. They will have this unique pairing mode for low latency. So you won't be able to use your AirPods 3 with the headset, and you also won't be able to use your AirPods Max, not for low latency. You would only be able to use AirPods Pro. So they've got to get the H2 chips in these other AirPods pretty soon.
They should be giving us a pair with that price point. It should just be included.
Well, it's for developers. And you knew that they were going to do this.
You know there's all not... Along. You know a lot of other people are going to buy that, though, if they can.
And now it's going to just be an add-on. The AirPods Pro will just be an add-on on the buying page on Apple's website. Yep. When you buy the headset. You know, do you need some AirPods Pro to go with this?
So I'll be well, like $3,250, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it might even be $4,000. That's it.
Cool.
I mean, there is a lot of very impressive hardware. So I guess that does bring us to the headset, pretty much.
Yeah. But
there was this huge report coming from Wayne Ma at The Information, and this was one of the biggest. Series of reports that we've seen about the headset, because it just unveiled so much about it, and a lot that we hadn't heard before. So the first thing is the battery won't actually be in the headset. It will be in a waist mounted pack with like a MagSafe cable going up to the headset, which I think actually is okay, but other people seem to hate this idea.
Yeah, that doesn't sound cool at all. I thought this was supposed to be like a wireless thing. I don't want a cable on my side.
But you admit, when you've used other headsets in the past, they are really front heavy. And I know that the most recent Oculus headsets, or Meta Quest now, or Meta Quest Pro, it's like they put the battery on the back of the headband so that you feel it's counterbalanced. But it still is so heavy and bulky, and you.
I guess if there's no, I guess if that's the bulk of the weight, yeah, that might. I guess so. But
and also, it's only got a 2-hour battery life. This device, so you need to be able to swap the batteries out, and this means you can just buy another battery pack, hook it on your waist.
For how much?
So it's weird. Now this is coming into fruition, and. This means that the headset itself should still be really nice and light, and it will look very different to what we've come to expect from devices like the Meta Quest, because it should be a lot more like ski goggles than like a really protruding headset that's really heavy.
So
so it should look quite Apple-like in that way, I suppose.
That's going to be strange, because like having a wire at your waist, if you're doing movements, are there controllers, right? That was what they're supposed to be, kind of like, right? Or no?
No controllers.
Why did I think there were controllers?
What they're doing is they've gone all in on hand controls. And apparently they developed a wand for it and like a thimble. But it's not clear if that's going anywhere. But the one thing we know is they're definitely not making any sort of games controller for it. And apparently, gaming is not a focus for this device. Right. Which is somewhat, you could see it coming. I mean, they've hardly ever been focused on gaming on the Mac.
Sure.
But you kind of think, you expect this device to be good for games, because what else is it really going to
be? What else are we going to do with it? You know, AR glasses, different story, because that's for life and, you know, it's augmented reality. It's not VR. But if you're doing both, what is the VR portion for is what I want to know. Besides, you know, well, games makes the most sense. It's the easiest way to step into it.
It looks like the focus will really be on video conferencing. So that will provide a better experience than what you get with Meta's products, because it actually will get very accurate facial expressions. It will even record your gaze and represent that on your Memoji, the exact direction of your eyes and little movements of your brow. And it also gets your whole body, including your legs. So you will your Memoji form will exactly mirror you in the digital world. Now, my question is, why wouldn't I just FaceTime someone?
Yeah.
So the other thing that Apple is playing up is that, or will play up, will be that it's mixed reality. And that's why there'll be like a little AirPods Max-style digital crown on the side of the device that you use to fade in the real world and then fade it back out.
So, like, I could show somebody what I'm doing? Or, like, I could see the real world?
You can see the real world.
Okay. Would it be kind of cool if, like, if I was, like, FaceTiming, like, if I was trying to show my dad something on, you know, like, hey, check this out for a second, and then I do what I'm doing on the Mac or something like that, or the TV, or, you know, giving them, like, a really good camera angle. I don't know. Just thinking of it out loud. But
well, it will have a display on the outside as well, apparently. So people that are looking at you wearing the headset will be able to apparently see some kind of facial expression or feel like you're less isolated. It will be like a always on display, so low refresh rate, on all the time.
It's gonna look and so weird.
I know. It's
what about
it's,
wait?
It's strange. Now the details are coming out.
Do they have cameras on the back?
I don't think so. No.
Oh, it would have been cool to be able to see behind you, like when you fade in the real world. If you had cameras on the back of your head.
Oh no.
Like, why didn't we do that? That would have been cool.
I think that they've actually developed a couple of different headbands. So I think they're developing a headband for developers and consumers that would have different purposes.
Yeah.
And the headbands you kind of switch out. Originally, they wanted it to be like Apple Watch bands, but apparently they couldn't make that work because of this MagSafe cable to go up from the battery pack.
That cable's a real bummer, I'm not going to lie. I don't know.
So
I'll give it a chance. Magnetically attachable custom prescription lenses. That's cool.
Yeah, I'll need those.
Yeah.
And it also is, it's good that whenever you've used any of these other headsets, it doesn't match your interpupillary distance properly. You have to manually kind of work it out. And I always find that really hard to.
It never looks good. No.
Yeah. But because the headset has iris scanning for both eyes, it will be able to scan that and actually just do that automatically. So it's a much more seamless experience, or at least it should be.
I just want to see this thing. I just want to see it. Like, I can't talk about it anymore. I just want to see. We've been doing this for years.
Well, by WWDC, you will have seen it. And when we've seen it, we won't believe that we will have seen it, because we will have been talking about it for so long.
It's going to look totally different, too. I bet you anyone, they're just going to throw us all off. Actually, it won't. We ruin everything for ourselves and for everyone else, because we're always pretty. We got it. By the time the event happens and we watch it, we're like, oh, yeah, we knew about that. Like, nothing's a surprise anymore.
Well, with this report in particular, there was just so much
this is
detail. I mean, you can run iOS apps in 2D. It's got a special image signal processor to make the view through to the outside world low latency enough that it's pretty seamless. The fact that, as I mentioned, you've got H2 chips for AirPods Pro, much wider field of view than anything that Meta is doing. So there's just so much detail. It does seem more like a real product now.
Man, I wonder how they got all this information.
Well, through a lot of well placed sources, and there's some interesting background to that with some lawsuits that took place not that long ago.
Yeah, I was gonna
with
say,
various
this doesn't
people.
Seem like a normal leak. This guy had it all.
Well, there's a lot of people working on this headset.
Sure.
This Apple has what, 3,000 employees working on this? So that is also the other reason why we're not expecting big software updates this year. iOS 17 probably will be quite a small update. Same for macOS, because this is where all the energy is going, which is understandable, really, because it needs to be perfect. It really does. People are not going to give this thing a chance.
I just feel like Apple's a company that has enough money to hire people specifically for this headset and not pull others that are working on other products that need attention, like software, which is very important so that we don't have bugs. Like or just hire more developers for the software for the intermediate time period.
I've been saying that for years. I wish they would do it, but they can't get the talent. They for some reason seem to think that the price that they're paying for developers and that you know, Apple's hiring process is very rigorous, and also by a lot of accounts it's not a particularly great working environment for developers either. So it seems to be contributing to a little bit of a software problem that Apple is having, which I think, you know, we're all aware of at this point after things like last year's Safari, well, the year before last now, the Safari redesign and Stage Manager. You know, we're seeing these sort of blunders more and more often at this point.
Yeah.
And that's not even to mention the car project, which is also the other thing that is taking up a lot of energy behind the scenes. And that is another one that now seems to be changing shape. You know, this was supposed to be a car with no pedals, no steering wheel, and just a bench that runs around the outside of the interior of the car, and a price tag around $120,000. Now, $100,000, normal pedals, normal steering wheel. It won't be full self-driving. It will basically just give you autopilot like you would get in a Tesla, and just a normal interior layout. Normal electric car.
I'm fine with
that's
that.
That's what's happening.
I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with it as well.
Yeah, I don't want... I like driving still. I'm not in that... I'm not ready for full self-driving. I've been telling... Because there's a video that's going around on Twitter about... which is funny, of all places... about a Tesla that just randomly stopped in the highway and caused like a massive, like 10 car pileup or whatever it was. Mine did that to me, like straight up on the way home from a trip. I put it in autopilot and it, I don't know what somebody, they didn't cut in front of me, but like, you know, maybe within like the 2-car limit that I had set, they were within that 2 cars and they just merged lanes. And maybe they didn't put a turn signal on. It freaked out, and it slammed on the brakes as if I was about to hit him. I was nowhere close. And it did that on the highway going 70 miles an hour. That is not a fun – especially when you're not expecting it. That is the most terrifying thing of all time.
I've had similar experiences with Teslas. I mean, there was a bug, I think, about a year ago where it would just steer into trucks, like traveling alongside you. And I was in the car several times when this bug was happening, and you have to obviously correct really quickly, but it's you know, I don't trust this full self-driving stuff, and I'm glad that Apple is, you know, making it a little bit more realistic. Just give us the car to start. Give us a car with good, you know, great CarPlay integration,
well,
Siri integration.
Yeah, that's what I want. I just want a good interior. Make it an Apple-like interior. Make it so that I can use my watch to unlock the door like we do with Home Key. Make it Car Key, you know, which they do already, but like do it better because it's in your own car. Apple CarPlay, you know, they can do a really good job. And that's all I care about in a car. I still like to do the rest of the driving, but I want the interior to be cool. And, you know, $100,000 is a little steep, so let's bring that down a little bit too, please. But
yeah. Well, I think it's meant to be like a Model S competitor by the time that comes out.
Nah, don't
do
that.
So it will be 2025 probably unveiling, and then 2026 actual launch.
What about an Apple Car SE for all of us poor folk? Can I get an SE car, please?
I mean, yeah, it's going to be even longer for me because we have a right-hand drive over here. So how long is it going to be before there's a right-hand drive,
man,
Apple car?
I feel like that's not as hard to do, though, right?
it's going to just be US only, because they've got to clear it with all the regulators in every country. So yeah. It will just be the US. This is going to be an Apple product, a little bit like, it's not really a product, but something like Apple Pay Cash, where you only get it in the US. It will be one of these US exclusive things. So it probably won't be till the end of the decade that we really start seeing this as a truly worldwide thing.
It just needs to come out, because I have a bet going with somebody who says that's never going to happen. And I'm like, it's going to happen. They're actually doing this.
Yeah, it's the same as the headset. It's the same as the headset.
Well,
it's
that's not a good argument, because we don't have the headset yet. All right. Well, that's
it's the same for all of us.
Yeah. That's like, we just wanted to touch on some of the rumors. We do plan to go more in depth on some of the products in the future episode. So hopefully, if that goes as planned. If you don't, then our plans fell through and we're just going to move on. But we wanted there has been a lot of talk. This is not really a look ahead as much as it is. These are just information that dropped like January 3rd. Like, they didn't give us any break. It was like, okay, the new year, here you go. Here's an information dump on everything that you can possibly imagine. Touchscreen Max and all the information about the headset. So we just wanted to brush on that. And hopefully continue on with, weekly podcasts as normal. So, yeah. See y'all in the next episode.